Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC. I'm your host, Wayne Liu. I'm joined, as always, by co-host Josh Hart.
William, how's it going?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. The Raptors have won nine straight.
Yeah. And Going for double digits tonight.
All they have to do is beat the Pistons. And Kyle Lowry was just named an All-Star for the sixth straight time.
Give Salute up to Kyle. To Kyle.
Best player in franchise history.
Absolutely.
Are you surprised at this at all, or?
A team touch and go. It does seem like the consensus is he could have been the odd man out, despite Sabonis being there. And I really think Sabonis has quite a bit of talent, but I don't know. If you had to pick which one was a sure bet for the All-Star game, it would be Kyle Lowry, and Sabonis would be the person we'd be talking about. Should he been out for Eric Bledsoe? Should he be out for Derrick Rose? Should he be out for the next guy?
Yeah.
But guess what? That's not the case. Kyle Lowry, sixth All-Star game. Now, franchise leader in All-Star game appearances, correct? Yeah.
In consecutive ones. I think DeMar also might have made the six. DeMar's also a five.
I think he's at four.
He might be a four. Okay.
Because he had that groin injury year where he wasn't able to make the All-Star
game. Right. That was 2015. Yeah, I mean, really, let's be real. Kyle Lowry should be a seven-time All-Star. I'm still a little bit mad about 2014 Joe Johnson stealing that spot.
Yeah, it should be fine. Kyle Lowry's been a unbelievable success for the franchise, and I don't think he's done.
I mean, it doesn't seem like he was done. It seemed like his numbers were going down for three straight years. He went from 22 points per game to 16 to 14. And last year when he was making the All-Star team, it was like 14, 15 points a game. I was like, all right, that was a little bit fringe. But no, this year, I mean, the numbers are even there for Kyle. We always know that Kyle always brings all the other intangibles that affect winning and stuff like that, but... Kyle's averaging 20 points per game this year with 7 assists per game.
Yeah, no, it's been unbelievable.
He's carried the team for pretty much the whole month where, you had Marc Gasol out and, you had Norman Powell out and you had Pascal Siakam out. And it was Kyle Lowry who was just carrying that whole franchise. And, that 30-point comeback in 14 minutes with, mostly G League-level players.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's
very clear that he's an All-Star. And yet there's still discourse on the timeline. Still discourse.
If Kyle Lowry played in Philadelphia his entire career, it'd already be decided he was a Hall of Famer.
He'd already had the Chris Paul hype?
Yeah, he's just playing in Canada and was a late bloomer and doesn't play a very flashy kind of basketball. I do think the last couple years before this one, when he spent more time as an outside shooter, I think the hype was starting to grow because he was, this three-point driven league. If you're hitting a high rate of three-point shots,
sure,
your star grows up. And Kyle Lowry seemed to benefit from that.
Yeah.
Anywho,
Did you think, before we get to the callers,
yes,
which you can call us at 416-263-8297
and
416-263-8298.
There you go.
Before we get to the first caller, you didn't think Eric Bledsoe deserved the make?
Eric Bledsoe... Eric Bledsoe, if I had to watch Eric Bledsoe in the All-Star game, I would have mimicked a tweet of his from a few years ago where I would tweet, "I don't want to be here anymore."
Yikes. Yeah, what are we doing as a society if Eric Bledsoe is named an All-Star? Look, man, I guess people were arguing, they're like, wow, if you actually see it, the per 36 numbers between Bledsoe and Lowry are different, and wow, Bledsoe shoots a higher percentage. They're like, wow, someone said Kyle Lowry shoots Brandon Jennings numbers, and I was like... How dare you talk about your daddy like that?
Oh, my goodness.
How many times does Kyle Lowry need to beat you guys in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Put 25-5 on you guys in the playoffs to sweep you guys in the playoffs before you guys respect your daddy.
When Kyle Lowry eventually is able to give his Hall of Fame speech, he's going to be so disrespectful to everyone who's
I hope so, man. But he's such a nice guy, though, publicly.
Yeah, but he's just going to come up and say, "You guys never thought I'd be here, huh?"
Mm-hmm.
And then some rich person in the crowd's going to shove him, and then it's lights out.
Yeah,
Kyle Lowry's really going to open up on that guy. Has anything happened with the Golden State Warriors fan who pushed Kyle Lowry? Do we
he
know?
He was a part owner. He was suspended for like a whole year.
Is he divested from the team? There was a story that came and went, like a certain cop who was mushed by a certain executive. I don't really remember the details. Man.
Wow. All
right, let's open the lines.
Proudly FTP. All right. First line, we have Brian in Toronto.
Brian, welcome to the show. Brian.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. What's your question?
I guess not so much a question as much as it's a frustration.
Okay.
Just listening to the pod from last night, and you're talking about Kyle and like his compete level.
Yep.
And like, we have all these guys on our team right now that can make that winning play. Like, they're the difference makers. They're the ones who can get out there, and they, even if it's not on the score sheet, they make the play.
Yep.
And it's like, unfortunately, it's the three guys who are on the verge of potentially losing with Kyle, Mark, and Serge. Mm-hmm. Serge, obviously, to a lesser extent. So if you look ahead, let's assume, good news scenario, we end up signing another superstar down the road. Don't you feel like we're just going to be out there in the marketplace looking for another Kyle, looking for another Serge, looking for another Mark? So I don't know, man. It's kind of like a damn moment, but like, what do we do? Like, aren't we just going to end up like in this place again just without these guys?
I mean, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, that's just the nature of time, I guess.
Yeah, and the big question isn't – the big question to me, I think Kyle Fred's succession plan is there. But what is the future of the Raptors' front court rotation? It's a huge question.
It seems like they need to sign someone who plays a power forward or center position there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Who are you thinking of?
I don't know, man. There's someone with like a 6'10 guy with like a giant wingspan that plays for the best team in the NBA right now.
Mm. Do we have any inroads on a connection with that with a player like that?
You know, apparently he knows Masai.
He knows Masai.
He knows him for a while now. Huh. Yeah.
So you're saying the future of the NBA 5 is just some guy who might be available in a year and a half?
Imagine if Giannis played 5 with Pascal 4. That'd be good. I think it's a good point. Like, I think, you know, these guys, Mark, Serge, and Kyle, they're such indispensable winners, and they're unselfish guys too. You can't figure out the fact. You can't put aside the fact that, like, you know, it's these guys are all very unselfish players.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think about a guy like Serge Ibaka, who has accomplished a lot in his career. But as soon as Marc Gasol comes here, he agrees to come off the bench and permanently come off the bench, basically. Even though he puts up huge numbers, even though he gives you 26 points, just pretty much whenever he wants to start, he's just cool taking a back seat because, you know, they're committed to winning. And honestly, not a lot of players in the NBA are as committed to winning as some of these older guys. So I don't know. Yeah. There is no real great succession plan. But I think part of it is just, you know, we should just appreciate them for, you know, the fact that they're here right now. I think Mark,
yeah.
I think odds are good you probably retain one of the two bigs, mm-hmm. maybe not both. And obviously Kyle's on the roster next year if he wants to be, in terms of just he's under contract. So,
yeah, the Raptors had the best decade in franchise history. Eventually those guys leave. Like, we'll always have the memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it goes back to that point of, like, you know, we're just that one superstar away. Like, if we could have just, like, the window was just so small for us. If we could have just had that one, like, A-minus superstar on our team this year, we'd be running it back. No question.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
It's like, you take Kyle or Mark, you put them, or to a lesser extent, Serge, put them on one of those competitive teams out west, they'd likely become the favorite, like, by a long way. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true.
The Clippers with Kyle Lowry are winning the championship.
Yeah, exactly.
The Sixers with Kyle Lowry winning the championship. You know what I mean?
The Lakers?
The Lakers with Kyle Lowry winning the championship.
Oh, man.
They're you know winning. What I mean? the Raptors with Kyle Lowry, you know, probably...
Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Anywho, Brian, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, enjoy the 9-game win streak, man. Come on. All
right, yeah.
Times are still good.
Going for double digits on Dwayne Casey's head top. What could be better?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm enjoying the hell out of this season. It's like the least stress I've ever felt in my life.
But perfect.
I just got on my feelings last night listening to the pod, so I was like,
oh. All right. Well,
cheers, guys. Thank
cheers.
You.
Be good. Peace. Yeah, so, I mean.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry is not going to be here forever. I mean, his number will be. And a beautiful bronze cast of him will be outside of Scotiabank Arena for years to come. But, eventually the team will transition. And
yeah.
Hopefully we have broken through that we're not having to play, you know, Landry Fields types, but...
Wow. Oh, I mean, I would say every great philosopher has grappled with the finite nature of life in all existence. So,
exactly. Larry Tannenbaum will have to do the same one day.
Yeah.
Anywho, we have Samir online too.
Hi, every great philosopher.
Welcome back to the show.
Hi. So I was first of all, I love your show. Big fan of the show.
Thank you, man.
That's very nice.
And I was at the unique position of being at the game in San Antonio on Sunday. I'm one of those guys that show up a couple of hours early hoping to get an autograph by the tunnel.
Right.
So I was there at about 1 p.m. and the game was at 3 p.m. local time. So I was there before the news actually broke.
Yeah.
So at the time, I was by the tunnels. Across from me was actually a guy in a Boardman Get Paid t-shirt, of all things. I don't know why. And
in San Antonio, that's
Mark
brave.
Gasol,
that is
yeah,
brave.
Exactly. So I was really surprised.
Yeah.
And so Mark Gasol came out, and he was just doing his shoot around. And that's the first time that Boardman guy gets paid guy pulls up an article. It's like, hey, TMZ is reporting that Kobe died. I'm like, no way. There's been crazier hoaxes that I've heard, right? Mm-hmm. There's no way that's true, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, we kind of just I mean, it's still in my mind, but I start ignoring it. And then all of a sudden, it hasn't even been like 5 minutes that Marc Gasol's been out there.
Yeah.
He goes straight back to the locker room with his like hands on his head. And like, you could tell something wasn't right.
Yeah.
And then that's when I started paying attention. Maybe the story is true because like there's no way that he would just walk out like that. Right.
Yeah.
And then Mark actually did come out a bit later, and I don't know who he was speaking to. This one of the guys on the Raptors staff. He kind of looks like LaMarcus Aldridge of all people. I could kind of read his lips, and Mark was like, "It's true." So like, that's when I started like panicking. Like I was like, "No way, that can be true, right?"
Yeah.
So obviously, at that point, the players weren't really interested in signing autographs. So yeah. I was still standing by there, and then Kyle Lowry eventually came out, and he didn't actually shoot around. He just came up to Alex McKechnie and told him to bring his stretch fans or whatever he had back to the locker room. So I don't know if he actually warmed up in the locker room, but that was the only sighting of Kyle Lowry before the I guess warm-ups. And so eventually I went back to my seat, and my seat was pretty much a few feet down from the Raptors bench, so I had a good view of the expressions of each people. And I guess just as they were shooting around at the layup lines, Matt Devlin and the Sportsnet crew was at the center court. And I saw Kyle kind of have a brief chat with Matt. And that was kind of the time when the Gianna Bryant news was coming out. And I assume that's what he told them. And then he kind of passed that on to Fred, and you could, and Fred just squatted down for a brief, like, I would say like 2 minutes. He didn't even think about it. Cause I mean, both of those guys have kids, and I can imagine what's going through their head at that point.
Right.
And as you know, the Spurs played a little, tribute, I guess, not really a video, more of like just
a graphic,
a note on the screen.
Yeah.
A graphic on the screen. And I feel like amongst the crowd, there may have been a bunch of people that found out for the first time from that graphic. Which was kind of weird and kind of shocking, I'm sure. So it was supposed to be a fun day. It was one of my three chances to see the Raptors in Texas, and it didn't. I mean, it was weird rooting for every basket that Pascal Siakam was scoring in the first quarter, but.
Yeah.
It was just a weird, weird feeling in the arena.
Yeah.
So
we'll talk
a
lot about that in the reaction podcast. And I saw the same thing when watching it. It's, like, objectively, an amazing, like, a very good game. But
yeah, very good
completely
game.
Absent of any, like, purpose. It just felt like...
Yeah. It's... yeah.
But, Samir, thank you for calling in and sharing, like, sort of
no problem.
Some of this looked like.
And great job, guys.
Oh, I mean,
thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up that they had to play that night.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so hard to make logistics work in that on the fly. But and I think Nick said he gave the players an option. Like if you are not feeling up to it, It's just if you don't want to play, you don't have
to. You don't have to play. Yeah,
didn't force anyone to play.
We would have seen a lot of Pat McCaw. No, he'd have the face injury, but yeah, it's unbelievable. It was such a strange day to watch. I remember getting the news. I was with my brother and my partner, and we were coming downtown. My phone died. I saw it, and like Kobe Bryant's passed away. Like, oh my god! And then 3 minutes later, my phone dies. I'm like,
jeez,
I should charge overnight. But Ailey is keeping everyone up to date,
right?
And we got the Gianna Bryant news as soon as right as we were getting downtown. I got upstairs and turned on the Raptors broadcast, and my phone came back on, and just seeing like Tyson Chandler and
that's
when I was really choked up. It was really a horrible, horrible day.
Yeah.
And it was so weird to watch basketball.
Yeah, it was very, very weird. And all the best to the Bryant family and all the other people that were affected by that plane crash.
It's real tragic, unbelievable.
It's completely hard to make sense of that.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another call from TK in Edmonton.
TK, welcome to the show. How are you doing? How's it going? TK in Edmonton. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
You have a question about the Eastern Conference Finals and the Raptors.
Yes, yes. I was wondering will Toronto Raptors make it to the Eastern Conference Final this year? And who will they face if they do so?
They'll definitely face Milwaukee.
if they make it.
I'm pretty sure they'll face Milwaukee.
Yeah.
If you look at where the standings are right now, if the Raptors hold steady and keep the 2 seed, which they've had for about a week, and obviously, a 9-game win streak allows you to get that, but there's not much separation there.
Nope.
The East is pretty good this year, just as it was last year. And so if they manage to hold on to the 2 seed, which is not guaranteed, I think they have a much better chance of getting out the first round.
Yep.
Because you don't want to be in a 3-6 matchup against Philly or even Indiana. Second round, it'll probably be, the Celtics, maybe? Celtics, Heat, one of those teams?
Yeah.
I'd love a Raptors Celtics. The one thing we've been denied this whole run is Raptors Celtics.
Yeah. And even though this is not the best version of the Raptors,
or the best version of the Celtics that we've seen.
I feel like the playoffs is
close.
Depending on which team you get, especially the Eastern Conference, it's a flip of a coin. Even Milwaukee, I'm not very confident in them in the playoffs, especially Giannis. They might make him a 3-point shooter, and he might not.
Or a free throw shooter.
Threes.
Both ways.
Yeah, even that as well. He's got a weakness that is similar to LeBron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Free throw weakness, so. I feel like even they could be had by the Raptors. I'm very confident in the Raptors this year.
Yeah,
especially Siakam. He learned a lot from Kawhi last year, so
yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's got something. And I'm I even seen him last year in the playoffs. It's the first game, right? Game one of the NBA Finals. He stepped up, so I feel like he could do the same thing. He could be the Kawhi for the Raptors this year.
Yeah.
That's my
belief.
I believe in that.
Hopefully, it'll be a little bit tough to match Kawhi for as good as he was, but Pascal's gonna have a good shot at it, and we'll see if he rises to the occasion, man.
He's got that African, he works hard. He's got that African in him. I feel like he learns quickly, picks it up. So I'm really confident in him. He'll step up.
He's been
up.
Awesome, and he's
because everybody else
down the stretch he's improved. Even a month ago, we're taking calls about can Pascal deliver in the clutch? And yesterday he made the right decision a couple days against the Spurs. He was good down the stretch. He's improving.
He's ticking off every checkbox that you guys had for me, especially coming into the season. So I feel like even in the playoffs, he's just going to, put in a checkmark in the box for the playoffs.
Yeah, he's ascending.
Yeah. And I have one interesting thing I seen on kanji, the Chinese language. There's a word that it means scary, and it's when you pronounce it, it's why? Kawhi Leonard.
Oh.
I was like, that's funny. It makes sense. Man. Kawhi's a machine. He's scary. Even playing for the Clippers, I'm rooting against them, but the guy's a machine, man.
Kawhi's a great player. There's no doubt about that.
That was all for me, and thank you for having me, guys. Big
of
fan of the show.
All right.
And I actually have one idea for Lou.
Yeah.
Why don't you do, like, after the games for the Raptors, like, a fan cam where you just interview people, like, that come out of the game. Like, hey,
trust me, Raptors fan TV would be amazing.
Because I'm a fan of Arsenal, and Arsenal have, like, an AFTV.
You want me to be Robbie?
Maybe one day.
Robbie,
Robbie
of Toronto right here. You got one. Oh,
all right, man.
Maybe one day. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah.
All right, cheers.
Peace.
Damn, we got Danny Ferry calling.
I have that
Yeah. Sorry, did I steal your joke?
No. Raptors fan TV, it's got to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really sure what language he was speaking about. Because he said Gwei, which is like, it kind of means, to be honest, that sometimes it's used as a disparative term in Chinese as well.
Yikes, okay.
That doesn't sound like Kawhi to me. Gwei and Kawhi, yeah.
I mean.
But maybe he was talking about like Korean or Japanese.
I don't know anything about these languages.
All right, fair enough.
Let's take a call from Adam in Mississauga. You are on the show. Adam, how's it going?
Hi. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, I have one question. So do you both believe that 60 wins is achievable this season?
It might be a little tough. It might be a little tough. Their schedule, like right now, is super light. Obviously, I mean, if you even just look ahead to the weekend.
Yeah,
It's still pretty easy, but it does get a little bit more difficult in March.
Yeah,
I think they have a 4-game stretch where they're playing like the Lakers and
the Lakers, Celtics. Memphis, the Celtics, and somebody else. It's like the third week of March.
Yeah,
it's rough.
I mean, if they stay healthy and they stay motivated, I could see them going for 60. But the thing is, like,
it's not about 60 wins; it's about the second seed.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the Raptors. I think the Raptors will pace themselves.
Yeah, I felt like these past two seasons we were almost there. Mm-hmm. Like literally, Dwayne Casey got Freddie injured during our 2017-2018 that one game against Miami.
That was unfortunate.
Literally got Fred VanVleet injured trying to chase that 60 wins, and then we could have got it easily last season if we didn't lose to Charlotte those two times. So I felt like we're
shout out to Jeremy
there.
Lamb.
Jeremy Lamb, yeah, baby.
I do hope somewhere in his house he has like those two pictures back to back, because that was fucking crazy.
I couldn't believe it, man. Back to back. And I think within like a couple weeks of each other.
I knew the second one was going in. As soon as he got the ball, I'm like, he's scoring.
Yeah.
And also, I have one like quick question. What's your quick reaction to TD being snubbed for the Rising Stars game?
It is what it is.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm happy that he responded to it on Twitter.
He said
it's not the first time I've been snubbed and passed over, and that's the kind of mentality you gotta have, you know. Because here's the thing: if you're undrafted as a rookie, you just have a lot of things going against you.
Yeah.
You really do have a lot of things going against you. I think especially for something like this, like where you were drafted is such a big determinant in your career early in your career, and for a lot of these guys that went to the game, like they're just, you know, high draft picks that I don't even know, to be honest. The four guards that made it for the United States team, I don't think they're that bad.
But they're not that. I guess it's weird. It's fine.
It's like, who was he gonna make it over? Trae Young, Ja Morant, like, you know, even Devontae Graham. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. The thing that's weird about like drafting guards is
it's also weird because it's like split between international and like and the team world versus Team USA. Because if it was just like the 24 best whatever, if it was rookie sophomore style, like, you know, he would probably be in the game instead of like Nikhil Alexander Walker.
I do kind of prefer the rookie sophomore format, but it's NBA is innovating. And
they're innovating, all right. They're trying everything.
They're going to add an extra 24 men to the roster before it gets announced, is what they're going to do.
Yeah.
For me, I don't really understand how Trae Young and Luka Doncic, they can both be starters in the All Star game, but they can still play the Rising Stars game.
So that people watch it.
Yeah,
and hopefully so that it can go against one another.
Also, they both deserve to make the, like, if we're just talking about the Rising Stars, like in the first 2 years of their career, like these guys are guys that deserve to be
totally
in the game. But they could just skip it so Terrence Davis can come in. I don't know. Let's be real. I might rather watch Trae Young versus Luka Doncic instead of
Terrence Davis.
I like Terrence. I love Terrence.
Speaking of like All-Star content, I was kind of hoping that with this three quarters that don't really mean that much, they would use different five-man units that would run the quarters, and I'd love to see one led by Luka and Trey.
Mm. Well, we can see the future Raptor lineup with Lowry, Pascal.
Lowry, Pascal, Embiid, Giannis, and
whoever else. Chris Middleton could sneak in there. Just to prove that he's a step below everyone else. Coached by Nick Nurse. Pat McCaw will be there. Nick Nurse would insert Pat McCaw.
Well, it'd be Kawhi would be the fifth man in that rotation.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be Lowry, Pascal, Embiid, Giannis, and Kawhi Leonard. God, that would be... Wow. That'd bring a tear to my eye.
All right.
Anywho, Adam, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend in Mississauga.
Yeah, bye.
All right, peace.
I don't know if we still have it, but...
Shout out to Streetsville.
In Mississauga.
Oh, we never used it. We've never...
We finally got a person who called in from...
Mississauga.
And we didn't use...
Mississauga.
It's unfortunate, you know?
Yeah, we really are screwing up.
Yeah, continue to call in, guys. Our phone lines remain open. To two numbers are 416-263-8297 and 416-263-8298.
I want everyone to know, we've been doing the show for a couple months. Uh-huh. We'll always have to open up the document with the numbers in it because he hasn't committed them to memory.
We're hardly talking about 967-1111, all right? It's not as...
241-0241?
It's not as eminently rememberable.
Or what's Pizza 73? 973-73-73? Or 1111? Shout out to Western Canada.
My favorite number... is if you are in Hamilton and you need to call a cab, it's 905-777-7777.
That's pretty good. That is a pretty easy.
It's pretty good when you're like super drunk at Hess Village and you need to come home safely. Just type in 7 in your phone like an idiot. You're probably going to get them.
Until someone picks you up, just put 7 in your phone.
Just spam 7.
Let's hit up the YouTube comments.
Yeah.
We have Herbert Chan. What percentage of first-time viewers do you guys think... Oh, my gosh. what percentage of first-time viewers do you think come in thinking you're Lou Williams of the Clippers and Josh Hart of the Pelicans?
To be fair... I could
it's unbelievable. Like, it is pretty
it's
remarkable.
Unbelievable that we have some similar names. You know.
It'd be, I mean.
That's what it is. People think my name is like a tribute to Lou Williams. And I'm like, yo, ain't nobody likes Lou Williams that much. Then B.
Yeah.
That's just my name, man.
Shout out to Stephen LeBron.
Yeah, you know. Shout out to Stephen LeBron.
Shout out to Stephen LeBron one time.
And then Josh Hart, you know, explain
it's
that
just
one.
A coincidence. So, you know, after Kyle Lowry started to become a great Raptor, I sort of adopted Villanova as my
college team.
Yeah. Never a big fan, never cared that much. And then when Josh Hart started to see some playing time, like, oh my God, this guy's like, there's a guy with my name and he's pretty good. I think he might make the league. So I adopted him as, you know, a very important player in my whole life. And I really thought that the Raptors had a chance at drafting him. He went ahead of OG, just barely. And the OG Anunoby is, to me, a better, more accomplished player. Mm-hmm. But damn it if I don't wish that to get a Josh Hart Raptors jersey.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. That would be weird. I don't think he's ever coming here.
Yeah, no.
But he would have sure he would be interested in bringing his podcast to Yahoo Sports Canada.
Sure, yeah. He was here. He did a pod with Danny, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's familiar with the studio.
Sure. He has a podcast right now.
Yeah.
Which I listened to when Lonzo Ball was on. That's about it.
All right. We have another question from Adam Patterson. Hey, guys. Where do you think Pascal Siakam ranks all-time Raptors list 10 years from now? 10 years from now? Second after Giannis. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Wow.
I have no idea where he would rank 10 years from now. If he's healthy, he gets past
Bosch.
Probably
crack top five. I mean, can he surpass Chris Bosch?
Yes, yeah. He's in the top five.
Okay. All right, that's all I'm asking.
Okay, yeah, he'll be top five Raptor all time.
Is Chris Bosch like...
If he's a part of another title run,
yeah.
Can it be top one?
Is Chris Bosch the... Yes, I don't know.
If he's number two on another title team... If he's number one on a title team, it's done.
I was
but
say,
if he's number two on another title team, is he... The greatest Raptor of all time.
That's a little tough. It's a little tough. Right now, I'm maybe a little smitten by Kyle Lowry, but
the
Groat.
Shout out to the Cash. Who made up Groat? Groat. I don't like it one bit.
Oh, no. I'm not a fan of that one.
Me neither.
No, but is Chris Bosh the most irrelevant star in franchise history? It feels like I can't. How many Chris Bosh memories can you remember?
I remember going to. So, Chris Bosh had a charity where he'd give underprivileged youth aka Kids from the Ends, like a Christmas party, and I went. I definitely thought he was giving me like an iPod shuffle. I was like, yo, it's about to be
lit. Wait, one of the USB sticks?
No, yeah, yeah, the USB stick. Yeah, iPod. Yeah. Like, I thought it was going
to
be like.
That thing held 56 songs.
I know, but it was a big deal to me. But he like gave everybody like a water gun that wasn't. It was like a bit of a letdown, but I don't know what I expected. Man, I just kind of knew. Skeet, you just gun. Know he's rich, and you're like, he's going to give everyone a house. Like, it was just.
Was it like at least like Super Soaker?
No, it was like.
Well, it was like a Dollarama.
No, it wasn't a Dollarama. Chris Bosch was very generous. I don't want him to, you know, never appear on anything I work on. But I remember leaving and I was like, what's going on? I'm back in a school bus. There are all these kids from like a neighborhood that I was told not to like. Mm. This is horrible, but shout out to Chris Bosch. Damn. If Pascal Siakam gives away.
All the kids at Thistletown got water guns. Whoa. At least, I hope he signed them at least.
Yeah, it's all the, like, you know, we're on the same bus as like all the kids from Fir Grove community. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, this is different.
Wow.
Anywho.
Okay, well, that's a great Chris Bosch memory. Then. I'm happy I asked. All right, let's go back to the line. Samir in Toronto. You want to talk about the All-Stars?
Before that, I just want to say RIP Kobe Bryant and everyone else. Yeah,
for sure.
Outside of that, what do you guys think about, especially Bradley Beal? I don't know if you guys saw his fiance or his wife going off.
That was amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, what very, do you think very, about that?
That's love right there.
Full 100, like, A-plus from everybody involved. Bradley Beal, probably, like, it's definitely a slight. I don't know if it's, like, unbelievable that he didn't make the All-Star game.
He's averaging, like, 27.
Yeah, he's really good. His team's very bad, and they play no, like, negative defense.
Yeah, so they play no defense.
But
I feel like the coaches and, like, the players are kind of confused. Like, there's no criteria, right? Like, is it stats? Is it leadership? Is it the record? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's no direction on how to choose an All-Star reserve.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. But, I mean, I think it's ambiguous for a reason, right? Depends on what you value. Not even what you value, but what you value most, right? Like, I could make a case that Bradley Beal should be there over Kyle Lowry. I'm not going to make it.
But it's called rappers over everything.
Because I personally don't really believe in that, because I think what affects winning really should get you there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's not the only criterion. You got to balance all the little buckets there. And honestly, Brad is... He's a tough defender. Like, honestly,
he's a very good player.
He's really, really tough to defend.
He's
as a Raptor.
Like top three in the conference, if we're being
in terms of just like pure ability. Talent. Like, I think he should be one of the top 12 players in the conference.
Yeah, and
I can see why he feels snubbed. But also, the Wizards are irrelevant. They've given up 150 points of regulation twice. 150, man.
That's crazy.
Yo, they had a game this year where they scored 150 and lost.
Yeah, against the Clippers.
No, it was Rockets.
Oh, the Rockets.
Yeah, like, bro, if you can't win with 150 points, I don't know what to tell you. The points don't matter as much then.
The part that I got lost with the whole, like, his wife and everything was they chose to stay in Washington, right? Like, they could have got traded to Toronto. They could have got traded to Miami, whatever, and then he would have been All-Star, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. I'm not buying the whole thing. Even though I do think he is All-Star worthy, there's always going to be people we complain about, right?
Like, well, snubs, so. I do think that they, like, Kamaya and Bradley and their team are of the opinion that what should be represented at All-Star is their talent. Mm-hmm. Bradley Beal,
undeniably
talented, and is an All-Star quality player.
Mm-hmm.
They feel it's unfair, and they have a leg to stand on that the circumstances of his team's performances here has kept him out, and that's unfair because he can't control that. And what he wanted to do is to build something in DC, and
yeah,
to me that's delusional. I mean, let's be real. Like, Washington is a joke.
No, it's totally fair to say that him re-signing was a poor decision. But we still lionize guys who stick with one team. Very notably this week, it's like I really wouldn't be surprised at this point if Giannis re-signs the extension before the end of the year.
Mm.
In tribute to how much he looked up to Kobe Bryant and how much of that is a narrative around greatness and excellence with a franchise. Like, and because of that, Bradley Beal signed a contract that we now think it's a lot of fun to make fun of because he's stuck on a team that's going nowhere. It's
hard to have it both ways, man.
It's hard for us to have it both ways.
You know, when Brad's agent came out and won this huge diatribe and said, was like, yo, essentially he was saying, look at the bums that he's playing with.
Exactly.
I thought that was honestly, you know, it was funny, but it was also just kind of like, it's true though. Like, if you want to encourage players to stay in markets that are not necessarily desirable,
yep,
to tough it out when times are tough, then, you know, you can give them, you throw them a bit of love, to be honest.
Yeah, and we, I don't know, like, we love to kill Kevin Durant for leaving Oklahoma City, and
mm-hmm,
I mean, Washington, D.C. is a much more desirable place to live to Oklahoma City. No offense to any Oklahoman listeners, but D.C. is an amazing place to live.
They don't even have the internet out here.
It's an amazing place to, I don't know, yeah.
I also have one more quick question.
Yeah.
Why do you think, it always, like, I never understood the whole why people didn't give Kobe Bryant the credit he deserved. Like,
wait, hold on. Kobe got plenty of credit. What are we talking about?
I mean, in terms of like all time, like, he was, a lot of people didn't put him on their all time top 10 list. Like, they always had, sure, LeBron and a bunch of other guys in front of him. I feel like, sadly, you know, after he passed away, now we're all praising him. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't feel like he got enough praise while he was still here.
I think there are a few reasons. One is he played so much like another guy. And
yeah,
it's hard to say that, like, Michael Jordan A and Michael Jordan B are in the same top 10. And, like, when I look at most top 10 lists, it's, like, 10 fairly unique players.
Like,
yeah. That's why LeBron has surpassed Larry Bird, because it's sort of, they're very similar players. We have to put one over the other, and the other can't even be in our top 10. It's stupid.
I think,
but I do
I think
I don't think Kobe Bryant was in many serious basketball fans top 15, top 12, top 10s.
Yeah. I think he had a lot of trouble, because after Shaq left, everyone said, oh, he couldn't do it without Shaq, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't win for another, what, 6-7 years? Or what was it? No. Yeah, about 6 years. So
yeah,
he was always fighting that, like, you know, that narrative, could he, mm-hmm, do it without Shaq, right?
Yeah, and yeah, also Kobe came at a very unique time in terms of where basketball came, sort of, the conversation of basketball evolved, because that's when analytics became a very popular talking point.
Yeah,
people started looking at numbers, and not just looking at numbers, but looking at advanced numbers. And it almost seemed like, by most advanced numbers, part of the cases of advanced numbers was always, Kobe's not as good as you think it is. He was, you know,
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
That's true.
Was always the case that was made by that crowd. And I think it does come back and sort of, you know, knock him down a peg. But I think once he came back with that team that had Powell, that had Lamar Odom, that had Andrew Bynum, even,
yeah,
like, yeah, you know, he won two more championships after that. I don't know how you can argue with that. He went to three straight finals.
Yeah.
It's pretty,
yeah,
good. Exactly. And that team is like, Powell was a very, very good player. Definitely a very good player. And he had some very nice pieces, but come on, man.
Yeah.
Kobe, I mean, you know,
Kobe,
those two championships right there really does put him up, you know.
Up there.
Up there for,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, for sure.
All
right, guys, thanks.
Cool. Be good. Yeah, I mean,
Kobe didn't get enough credit is a little hot take, though. Come on,
yeah,
man.
I'm
he
not
got
sure.
plenty of credit, man.
Yeah, he's a lot of people's top three. And, like, he's not there for me. He's,
yeah, he's
probably
not
really my top 10, but he's close. It's, like,
right,
undeniably an all-time great. And
yeah.
Even, I do think these, like, conversations about where he stacks up all time when he's very recently passed are a little gauche.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, it's a tragedy, yeah, that he's gone. He was undeniably one of the greatest players of his generation, and there's a debate for him where he ranks all time. That's not to be had right now. Like,
right.
This, anywho.
We're going to get to William Hampton, but let's go to our KFC hotline. This message, it's a little long, but I think it's definitely worth it. This is from at Greg from the Gram, and he left us this coherent and cogent message in the KFC hotline.
Hey, yo, Will. Yo, Josh. Listen, fellas, I've never been one to really take seriously this reality is a simulation theory, but watching Colin Glitchton last night, I felt a bit of a phantom controller. I was like, what is this, NBA 2K? Or am I watching the real thing?
Your opponent has left the match.
Second, I'm just looking for some solidarity here, fellas. That NBA on TSN theme song, every single time I hear it, you know how it goes, do, 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 do. I can't be the only one out here. Every time I hear that shit, I'm thinking, X gon' give it to ya, X gon' give it to ya, X gon' give it to ya. Okay, hit me up, boys. Let me know I'm not alone.
Thanks, Greg from the Gram. Yeah, you can leave your own message at the Yahoo Sports Canada Instagram page, and if you have something that makes our producers laugh, you'll hear it on the show.
Yeah, also, please drive safe.
Yeah, please drive safely. Like, it does sound like he pulled over to leave this message and then turn the car back on.
Yeah.
So question.
First off, he sounded a lot like Kyrie with the first half of the comment, you know?
Yeah.
That sounds like something Kyrie would say over a 5-minute span.
It was crazy. Who was it that was that Colin Sexton like froze up on?
So the situation was Norman Powell was in the corner, and Serge Ibaka was out top. Serge had the ball, and Serge looked like he wasn't sure what he was going to do with it because you know
Serge Ibaka never seems
Serge takes a bit
totally
of time
sure.
with the ball, and so Colin Sexton was trying to stunt towards Serge because obviously what his assignment isn't Serge, but he just decided not to cover him and he just went back and forth like this for like a solid 3 seconds and the Serge just pulled up in his face and hit it.
Did he hit it?
Yeah, of course.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then what was the second part of that question?
X gonna give it to.
Oh yeah, we listened to it before the show. It doesn't really. It sounds. You can hear. You can argue it.
Mm-hmm. If you put it in my mind first, I could look for it. But otherwise, I would not arrive there on my own.
Though I can't help but recommend that everyone listen to X Gonna Give It to You this weekend. It's a great song.
All right, Stanley. That's a bonus one.
That's a bonus Stanley suggestion.
All right, let's get to Willie and Hampton. He's been waiting patiently.
Willie, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how are you guys doing today?
Good, man. You sound like Daryl Morey right now. I don't know why.
Oh, my God. You do sound like Daryl Morey.
Long-time listener, guys. Love all the pods that you guys do in this new live call-in show. It's awesome, man. It keeps me going through the night at work here.
Appreciate
awesome.
It, man.
Appreciate that.
But I do have a question. Like, I know you guys are getting a lot of trade rumor talk. Like, you know, what about this? What about that?
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, like, my first ever game, my number one guy has always been Lowry. I don't want to see him go. I know everyone's thinking, like, he's such a trade asset.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, do you think there's any way Masai could swing a deal to get, like, a Serge and something else to get Bradley Beal? Do you think that's a possible thing?
It just can't do it right now. Bradley Beal is not eligible to be traded right now because he's just signed an extension in his deal. Otherwise, definitely, I would be very interested in building a package around Serge Ibaka to flip towards Washington for Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
What about like Buddy Hield or something like that? Do you think it's possible?
I think Buddy's a more gettable player right now because
they brought him off the bench.
I know. He's furious. Because they lowballed him in the summer, and then now they've brought him off the bench. After trading DeMarcus Cousins because they thought he was the next Steph Curry. What an absolute joke of a franchise. Oh,
big like Clay, shoots like Steph. Why would you even say that? Like, Clay already shoots kind of like Steph anyway.
The biggest, I know the big one in like the summer I heard a lot of was like Wiggins straight up for Lowry. And like, I don't want to see Lowry go, man. Like, don't get me wrong.
I'm good, love.
I'm a huge Lowry fan, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And to see him go to Minnesota, I think would be a waste of his talent. I feel like the trash team.
You can't. And, like, you can't flip the guy with the most heart in the league for the guy with the least heart in the league, man.
Well, that's it. You know what I mean? Like I get coming here. Like maybe like the Raptors have a very good like training program. Like they tend to bring the best out in people. And like I think it'd be awesome. Like I think they could really turn Wiggins around and make him a really good player. But like, could you get him to want to play all the time? Like he seems like he just shows up to get a paycheck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that paycheck is the max. You don't take a gamble on a guy on a max.
Yeah.
You got to know that max guy is
really
good.
There's not really much margin for error.
Yeah.
So if let's say, you know, in 2021 something happens and we don't get Giannis, like everyone's kind of talking, who do you think would be the best ideal person to help Siakam to bring this to, like, a higher level, you know, really contender team in 2021?
I do like the idea of like going after Oladipo as well. I mean, we'll see how he recovers from his injury.
He looked good on Wednesday.
He looked pretty good.
I mean, he had that one shot, but he only had 9 points. And
but he looked like
was
he moved decently.
Yeah, he did. He did. All things considered, after a pretty catastrophic injury, he was not bad.
I don't know. LeBron James is a free agent in 2021. Maybe he'll come.
only if we somehow draft Bronny.
Kawhi and Paul George are both free agents in 2021. The sky's the limit, is what all I'm saying, Willie.
Yeah, I don't think you'd see Kawhi come back. I think he's happy being back home. I don't even know if it matters to Kawhi that if he'd get on a contending team to win again. Like, I think if he would have stayed in Toronto, hands down, we could have won again this year.
Guaranteed.
Like, you know what I mean?
Guaranteed.
But obviously, I don't think the whole winning another championship mattered as much to him. Like, I like Kawhi. I just don't think the whole thing, like, hey, I want to win again, wasn't the main concern for him staying here.
I think he thought he could go win in L.A. Like, the Clippers were a team that there are a lot of, like, similar-ish parallels between the Raptors situation and the Clippers situation when he left. But
the Clippers gave up everything, man. Like, they gave up, like...
I mean, what's the point of having everything if you don't want Kawhi and Paul George? Right?
Yeah, it's true.
Like, the point of having everything is to get those guys.
Yeah, but we could have did the same thing. I think Masai definitely did the proper thing. Like, I don't even know.
I don't think that deal was actually on the table.
I heard they talked about getting Paul George, but when they called or whatever happened, it was just ridiculous what they wanted. Like, they wanted Siakam and, like, OG or, like, they wanted, like, so much stuff that Masai was like, yeah, that ain't happening.
It didn't seem like a real trade deal, especially because they're asking for all this and the timeline was so short. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I think Sam Presti was just trying to gain leverage there. And you know,
Don't Presti and Masai have a history? They probably just bargained to screw over the Clippers. I got Masai on the other line. He's offering 4 first-round picks and Pascal and Fred VanVleet Jr. And he's like, oh, shit, okay.
He's offering me Kawhi and Dunn.
There's guys that are out there that aren't on the trade market. It doesn't matter what you could offer. I feel like Pascal is one of them. I feel like that's the guy who we're building around right now. And obviously we can't keep either both Serge and Mark. And I think Mark's probably the better keep just because of his IQ on the floor. Like, he just makes things happen. I know he doesn't put up 20, but, you know, just his player IQ is amazing compared to Serge. I think he's a better asset, but.
Mm. It's debatable. If Mark keeps breaking down as frequently as this year, like, it's sort of, you think about it, like, hey, can we expect 70 games out of you every year if we keep going to the playoffs? And if it's not true, is it better to have Mark if he's only seen the court 44 games a year?
That's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
Anywho.
All right.
Willie, have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate the call. Keep it up. I keep listening, man. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate that's what we're supposed to say to you, not for you to say to us. But seriously, we appreciate it, man.
No problem, man.
Bye. Yeah, thanks for listening. It's been fun to see the show find an audience and hopefully grow an audience.
Develop a community. Yeah, it's great, man.
It's a lot of fun.
Sound like John Torrey. All right.
John Torrey.
Next one, Seth from Richmond Hill.
Seth, welcome to the show. Oh, he's not there. That's unfortunate. Hey.
Dipped, eh?
Sometimes we take a little too long on the phones with somebody else, and you got to get back to your job.
All right, fair enough. Well, this is what we have prepared segments. we can save Stanley for a little bit later, even though I think it's pretty good. But this is a good time to bring up something that I'm personally interested in. So the Super Bowl is this weekend.
The big game.
obviously, the second biggest game of that night because the Raptors are playing the Bulls before that, obviously. That's the bigger game. You know?
The Raptors played the Bulls before the big football game last year as well.
Okay. All right.
In Toronto.
Maybe it's a tradition. You know, it's like the appetizer nobody wants. It's like the big broccoli
it's
appetizer.
It's like when you have hummus and goldfish at a party.
Oh, man, that does not sound good. That sounds almost culturally offensive.
Yeah, so the game, it will take place between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
Both teams have sort of innovative coaches, conflicting styles.
Okay.
It should be exciting. There's not really, like, Tom Brady's not as good as he used to be.
Is he retiring?
Like,
I saw a picture yesterday that seems mysterious.
He definitely wants all of the attention during this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, I can respect it. So that was his plan. You know? I mean, it's the point of sports. You're trying to be irrelevant, you know, so.
But we don't see, like, how many NBA players have teased their own exits?
I don't know, man. Michael Jordan literally retired 3 times.
But, you know, one of those.
Yeah, one of those.
We don't need to delve into conspiracy. Yeah,
he might have been in a real-life plot of Uncut Gems.
This is how I win, playing for the White Sox. It should be a good game. You should watch.
I probably will watch.
Two very good teams, and they have conflicting styles.
Good.
And that's like, it'll be entertaining to watch.
What's your prediction?
I think that the 49ers win.
Okay. All right.
And only because my dad would be very upset if they... And the Bay Area needs something. They lost Kevin Durant and the Raptors.
Oh, Durant. That's right.
But back to the lines, we have on line 2 Archie from Scarborough. Archie, how's it going?
Oh, hey guys.
How you doing?
It's Archie from Zara Man again. Last time I called, Alex was here, so I just wanted to reiterate
that.
Man. Will looks dapper in a Zara outfit.
Oh, thank you.
This isn't Zara.
Yeah, this is a rare outfit that's not from Zara, but, you know, hook a man up, you know.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask you guys what you guys think about the Raptors' relationship with Canada basketball. Like, I know Jay Triano was at one point associated with both, and now Nick Nurse is coaching.
Yep.
And they have their hometown videos and stuff like that. So what do you guys think about that?
I think it's great. I think part of the responsibility of the Raptors within this community and the space that they operate in is to foster the growth of basketball in Canada. I think the biggest determinant and the biggest drive of basketball becoming so popular in Canada and so much talent coming out of Canada nowadays, which, by the way, four Canadians on the Rising Stars team, very, very good to see.
Hell yeah.
Part of that responsibility falls on the Raptors. The Raptors are such a big driver of that. You could talk to all the players in the NBA, you know, like, the ones that are Canadian, they always watch the Raptors. Yep. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
No love for Chris Bosh, though. Dwight Powell not saying Chris Bosh inspired me to pick up a ball.
Yeah, well. Oh, but seriously, Dwight Powell, man. I hope everything goes well with the recovery. That was really unfortunate what happened to his Achilles.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of the Raptors' involvement, I think, first off, Nick Nurse coaching the program is great. It's great for the profile of the program. Yep. No offense to Jay Triano. You know, he volunteered his time and everything like that.
Coach. Like it's
just different, man. Yeah. Come on. It's just different. And then, you know, two, I think the Raptors organization and also MLLC has committed actual resources towards actually making some of these things possible. And, you know, I won't get into specifics of that, but, you know, significant individuals have also stepped up and tried to, you know, promote the program and contribute. And so, it's all good, man. I think, you know, the Canada basketball as a program has a long way to go. You know, there's a lot of talent now, and it's about building infrastructure to get them as far as they need to go and finally go to the Olympics, and they have a great chance of that this year. But,
you know how, like, a lot of players are, like, willing to play home, like Kawhi left for home and stuff like that? If you guys had to pick, like, which hometown hero, please don't be the honorary Kardashian, would you guys want back here?
SGA.
Yeah, I love Shea's game, man. So smooth.
Yeah, he seems he seems like it'll age well.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a guy that...
He kind of already has, like, an old man game.
If you told me I could have 15 years of watching him play, I'd be like, this is...
Yeah. And he plays both ends, too. Yeah. Got great mentality.
And at least in the next game, he won't torch us.
Well, hey, listen, I'm happy we're done playing OKC for the year. I'll say that much.
I've said here, and I want to reiterate, like, I don't really need to see these guys come back and play for the Raptors. It's a testament to, like, the success that exists here that these guys can go be successful all over the place.
Right.
It will be cool in a year or two when there's a legitimate NBA star playing in Madison Square Garden every night who's a Canadian.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
They don't all need to come back home, and I don't want to see the organization put that pressure on them. The pressure should exist for Canada basketball, but for the Raptors, I think it's a bridge too far. Anywho,
thanks so much, guys.
Have a great weekend. Yeah, I mean, do you want to see them all come back? I mean, it'd be.
Yeah, of course. I want to see the Raptors have an advantage in free agency for once.
Yeah,
and I think this is a real geographical advantage. Yeah, I don't know what I was trying to think there. I think geographical? I don't know.
We have Don from Toronto to talk about Pascal and Crunch Time. Don, welcome to the show. Don, you there?
Donny.
That's okay.
Don Valley Park.
Do you want to talk about Pascal and Crunch Time? He's improved, I guess. He looks better than he did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's always something I'm watching for, always.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily Kawhi, but that's also a hard standard to hold everyone to.
I think he's has a bit more tools than DeMar did.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as many as Kawhi had.
I don't know, actually. DeMar had some nice tools,
DeMar
had some nice tools, man. You know what I think right now is what's been really interesting to me is not necessarily that they're competing for it, because I don't think it's sort of an outright kind of spoken about thing that's sort of contentious. But it seems like early in the season, Pascal's the number one guy.
Yep.
Opening night comes out, scores 34 points, has 18 rebounds.
Yep.
Number one guy.
Yep.
Then, you know, he gets that injury. And then since that injury, he has been more the number two guy. Kyle Lowry has really emerged as the number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they can kind of trade this back and forth. I mean, even last year, Kyle Lowry, I thought, was the number one guy in terms of just setting one else up at the start of the year. And then, of course, Kawhi emerged and definitely took that over and never gave it back.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of an interesting dynamic. You know, Kyle is kind of number one guy right now. And
Norm Powell. Norm Powell.
Okay.
I really do believe that Norm Powell is an option in the clutch.
Okay.
I think he can be the release valve on plays and he'll be successful.
He'll release shots and they'll go in. No, that's very important.
Yeah.
The fact that he's willing to take these shots is really big for Norm. But I mean, just, you know, it is a little bit interesting right now to see the team sort of be Kyle's team again.
Yep.
And Pascal sort of clearly a number two. Right?
Yep.
If you look at sort of the way that the games have been closed, you know, sometimes Pascal steps up to do it. But to be honest, who's had more clutch moments this year? It's been Kyle.
Yep. No, so. It's very true. Anywho. Yeah.
All right. Okay, last call.
Real last caller. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you? Just wanted to say, first of all, I love your podcast, and I love you, William. I love both of you. I listen to you every day.
Thank
you
so
much.
Thank you.
My question is, what do you guys think about our genuine prospects against the Bucks? Because if we are going to make it through, I'm not particularly worried about, you know, when we go against the when we go against the 76ers. I feel like we beat them in seven.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody's kind of avoiding the fact that, you know, if we do make it far into the playoffs, eventually we're going to have to deal with the Bucks. And it looks like right now they're having the best season, like, in NBA history, almost. And I'm just a little bit worried because, like, are you guys confident in Nick Nurse's defensive schemes to be able to deal with, you know, the kind of shooting that they've got going on right now?
Definitely not concerned about the schemes, just because I think they play the same way as they did last year. And I think the Raptors defensively were pretty damn good.
Yep.
Last year defensively. So that's not what I'm worried about. The schemes, it's really just about whether they have the personnel to actually stop something like that. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to, can OG and Pascal reasonably keep Giannis in front of them, especially avoiding foul trouble. That's one of the nice things with Kawhi is that, like I said it before, I mean, you know, yeah, superstars just get more of a leeway in terms of how they play defense.
Yeah.
NBA referees, whether they're conscious of it or not conscious of it, probably won't call as many foul calls on Kawhi as they would maybe on someone like, you know, OG, and so that's a bit of a question mark. But the rest of the team, I actually do feel kind of confident in guarding them. I think the Raptors scramble and rotate really well. That's one thing the Bucks do really well, is just to improvise and move the ball. It's constantly pick and roll and things like that, triple handoffs. And there's a lot of free-flowing players offensively who can all shoot, who can all make a play, that if you are not up to standard in terms of your communication defensively and switching and communicating and everything like that, they will burn you. And I think the evidence is right there. They've won 10 in a row. Winning streak is longer than the Raptors won currently.
Right. But I've had, like, a lot of people, like, I've gotten into a lot of, like, arguments with people from Milwaukee on Twitter, and they all say precisely what you just said.
Thank you for doing that hard work.
But now that Kawhi is gone, I mean, who exactly is going to step into that role? Who is actually going to guard them? Because I don't think that Pascal or OG can take over the role of, you know, a defensive player of the year type of caliber player like Kawhi was.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really worrying. And right now it looks like their shooting is, you know, even better than it was last year, especially Giannis. So I just really, I'm really not sure how exactly we would deal with that. I mean, like, who do we have that we would be able to put on them?
Look, I think, if we're going to be completely honest, the Raptors are definitely underdogs heading into that matchup.
And they were last year.
Like, don't forget that part either.
Believe in the city.
But, you know.
Believe in yourselves.
Yeah, well, part of the thing is actually, low-key Serge did a really good job defending Giannis last year.
Yep.
Mostly off the bench when Kawhi had to sit a lot. Obviously, Kawhi wasn't sitting that much. Wasn't sitting as much as Giannis was.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike Budenholzer. But, Serge actually did pretty decently in sort of spot minutes. I think the Raptors playing more zone, I think, also helps them a little bit as well. It's a big question, man. And I wouldn't mind if the Raptors, at the head of the trade deadline, made a move. If they're going to make a minor move, maybe make a minor move to add another defender at that 3-4 spot who can maybe
be another body to throw at that situation.
Yeah, just because you probably can't.
The Raptors, the Raptors, in the years that they said, oh, we have PJ Tucker, another LeBron stopper, it didn't work. Like, I don't think it's necessary for them to just bring in another body. I'd say, like, rely on the scheme, rely on what you're doing as a defense and not as individual contributors. And the chips will fall where they may. Like, the Bucks are a better team than they were last year, and the Raptors are a worse team than they were last year. But I trust Nick Nurse more than I trust the Smoothie King baby Budenholzer. Anywho, Eric, thanks for your call. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. You too. Appreciate it.
Be good. All right.
It's time for our signature segment.
Stanley Suggestions.
That we always keep to the end for some reason. No,
it's because the people love it and they keep listening.
That's true. Real ones listen for the Stanley Suggestions. So, if you don't know what the segment's about, Stanley's suggestions is because Stanley has more, just generally speaking, more free time than a lot of other NBA players, and he seems like an outgoing guy.
Yeah,
the city of Toronto.
Diverse interests.
You know, a curious man. So there's a lot of things to do around the city of Toronto, and sometimes we suggest things in earnest, and sometimes we suggest things sarcastically. Shout out Stanley, by the way, who just went down to the 905 for the second time.
He balled out of control on Wednesday morning.
Something like that. So it's good to see him sort of, you know, stay involved and everything like that. But anyway, Josh, what's your Stanley suggestion?
So this week, tomorrow actually, Colin Kaepernick's Know Your Rights Camp's public art exhibition opens up at the Harbor Center. So my suggestion is for Stanley to check it out. You can find it at 235 Queens Quay. And there you'll experience some of the movement that has come around Colin Kaepernick in the last few years. I think Stanley would really enjoy it, but I also think that anyone listening who's in the city should check it out. It'll be there from the 1st until the 29th, so you have lots of time and no excuses to head down to the Harbor Center. Bring your skates, strap them up, skate around, and then learn something about an important social cause of our time.
Yeah, an extra long Black History Month this year.
An extra long Black History Month, so no excuses. William.
Well, my Stanley suggestion is nowhere near as important as that one. On Netflix, I've recently watched Rise of Empires, which, how do I describe this thing? It's like what you would see on the History Channel.
Yeah.
A bunch of grown adults sort of reenacting significant parts of history. So this one is covering the Turkish takeover of Constantinople in the 15th century to that officially ended the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
It's a five-part series. It's probably, I mean, you could probably watch it in 2 days, you know, if you're single. So Rise of Empires, the Ottomans.
All right, well, I think that's our show. Thanks for listening, as always. We'll be back next week, 3:30 to 4:30 on Friday.
Big shout out to KFC.
Buckets.
Is very fun to say.
Get yours before game time. When are the Raptors Pistons tip off? Like 7:30?
Seven.
Order a bucket at KFC.
Yeah, you can order online at kfc.ca. Also, shout out Paige Buckets.
I don't know what that is.
She's it's going to be the number one women's basketball recruit.
My goodness, yes.
Yeah. She was on the slam cover.
Yeah, that is pretty tight. All right, we'll see you next week.
All right, cool.
Peace.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloane Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloane.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.